Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is alarming to peer into a tomb. So we do not fault the women. Whether you are peering into the grave of your loved one, or you are peering into your own grave, it is quite alarming to see what is there. We personify death as a ghastly man with sunken eyes, pale skin, spindly fingers, wearing a long black robe. And while it's true that death is our enemy, it is also true that you will never see this gaunt man. The women enter the tomb, and they were alarmed, shocked, and astonished because they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. St. Mark simply describes the scene as a normal event. So believe it. Believe that when you peer into death, this is what you see. That in every grave, there is a young man wearing white, sitting on the right side. Now, this young man is not Jesus. He is an angel. But St. Mark refuses to call him an angel and simply calls him a young man because he wants you to see Christ in him. Angels are not men. Angels are spirits. They do not have bodies. Our Lord is spirit. But since the incarnation, he has taken on flesh, and that remains true even after his resurrection. Jesus doesn't simply have a body any more than he has a divine nature. He is divine, and he is a body. For if man lacks a body, then he ceases to be man. So the angel says, "He who has died is not here." He equates the body with Jesus, the eternal Son of God. So the Son of God is man now forever. He has this body. It is his identity forever, even after the resurrection. He is no phantom. He is no angel. But he is a man. In fact, the word resurrection necessitates the quickening of the body. But resurrection is far more than simply resuscitation. It is more than simply air filling the lungs once more, or the heart beating once again, pumping blood, or even the brain neurons firing yet again. It is all of those things, but it is far more than all of those things. The women did not look into the grave and see an old, weary, worn-out man holding a cane. Because resurrection is youthful vigor, youthful zeal, youthful energy. Not childish or infantile, but youthful in the sense that he can do anything, is capable of all things, and is also self-controlled at all times. So Jesus is the complete man who is now free from suffering, free from the curse, free from pain, free from any limitations. The nail marks are still there. The spear wound is still there, but they do not hinder him in any way. He excels and abounds and flourishes and prospers. He is what man was created to be. Immortal, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. And now you see it in his flesh. His body is alive. Yet it's not really an earthly body. I do not mean that it's abstract, spiritual in some sense. It's still a physical body, the same actually that was born of Mary. Neither when I say it's not an earthly body do I mean that it's a different body. Again, the angel says, Jesus who had died is not here. He is risen, the same body. Resurrection implies that the body that died is now alive. When I say it's not an earthly body, I mean that it no longer operates by earthly standards. It no longer needs to eat or drink, sleep or work out. It no longer gets hot or cold. It no longer needs mental stimulation or emotional care. It is a heavenly body. And the young man dressed in a white flowing robe shows that. This is a heavenly body not dragged down by the curse, by sin, by death, by suffering, but a body that flourishes. For Christ by his cross has overcome sin, death, and hell, and has woven together this beautiful robe so that this holiness and righteousness might not just be for him, but might be for you. He is not raised to suffer. He is not raised to linger underneath a curse. He is not raised to have to eat, sleep, and play and work. He is raised to be holy and righteous. He is raised to be free from the earthly confines and constraints of life on this earth. He remains a descendant of Adam, but he is better than Adam. In the resurrection, human nature reaches its full potential. And that full potential is completely imbued with the image and likeness of God. Christ is that image and likeness. Therefore, Christ manifests it outwardly from his flesh in a far more glorious way than the Mount of Transfiguration ever could. The angel sits on the right side to subtly prefigure him who sits at the right hand of the Father and will soon ascend. Our Lord has conquered sin, death, and hell, crushed Satan's hell, had removed the curse. Now he sits at the right hand of God to rule over all things. In the beginning, recall how God had given authority to man to rule the earth and to subdue the earth. And yet Jesus claims for himself not only earthly authority, but authority over the solar system, the Milky Way, all galaxies, authority over heaven itself, even authority over death and the grave. Nothing is outside of his rule and reign. He is the firstborn of the dead, our brother, our Lord, and our Redeemer, the eternal God, who now lives so that he might rule over all things and safely bring his people through life, through death, and into the resurrection to life eternal. So St. Mark calls this angel a young man so that we would see him as an image of Christ. So in the grave, whether it's your grave or your loved one, in the place of death and decay and stench where sin seems to reign, Satan laughs and the curse destroys, you encounter life. You see youth, purity, and manhood. You see a conqueror, a ruler, and a priestly king. Because this man points to Christ, he also points to you who are in Christ. Whether you have one foot in the grave or you are peering into the grave of your loved one, you should see this man, this young man, this risen and glorious holy man, Jesus of Nazareth, who lives and reigns. You should see Christ still with that body. He has not abandoned or left it, for did he not promise, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age"? You do not simply have a body, you are a body, a fleshly spirit and a spiritual body. And that means that you must also rise, for Christ's authority extends even over the dead, and he will raise them up on the last day, and those who believe in him will be saved. And at that great resurrection, there will be a change. Remember, resurrection is not simply resuscitation. The dead in Christ are raised to a new and glorious life, to the fullness of Christ. At the resurrection, no longer will they need to eat and sleep and drink and work and play. No longer will they need to exercise their bodies, their minds. No longer will they be hot or cold. They will be as Christ is. They will be better than they ever were before. More beautiful, more pure, more holy and righteous, exuding from their body. As the life of Christ now is manifest in their bodies. They will be like him who is the man, the firstborn of the dead, raised to an imperishable, glorious, and holy life, free from sin, death, and the curse, free from the constraints of a fallen world, free from pain and suffering, no limitations, but the fullness of what Christ has created you to be. That, my dear friends, is the goal of Christianity. God doesn't send you spiritual angels to proclaim this resurrection. He sends you a human angel, whom you call pastor, for angels are nothing more than messengers of God. And these messengers of God continue to proclaim the resurrection of him who has died, crucified for our sins, raised for our justification. This is our status. This is where we are going. They baptize and preach and serve the Holy Supper so that you might be conformed to Christ more and more each day. Christianity is not meant to bring out the best in you, for you know what is in your heart. Christianity is not meant for you to achieve your full potential. They almost achieved their full potential at the Tower of Babel. Christianity is not meant to make you a good person. Christianity is meant to bring you into Christ, conform you to Christ. Only in Christ, only through Christ, will you become a mature man. Only in Christ will you attain the fullness of life. And it will be seen in your flesh. Apart from Christ, you have nothing. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So peering into a grave is alarming. It is shocking and astounding. Because sitting inside the grave's gaping mouth is youth, purity, humanity, and life. Sitting inside every Christian grave is Jesus of Nazareth, always with them, always ruling over them, always protecting and guarding them until the resurrection of the dead. To him be blessing and honor and glory and might now and in the age to come. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.